Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, James gets to the main reason why we should not aspire to the office of teacher, or at least not do so without a great deal of thought and weighing very carefully whether we are prepared to accept the great responsibility and the liabilities that go with it. That's the idea of James 3:1 when he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Now, we do know from 1 Timothy chapter 3 that it is good to desire to be a pastor. There, Paul says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. And what Paul calls the office of a bishop in 1 Timothy 3:1 is essentially the same thing that James is calling a teacher in James 3:1. And Paul says it's good to desire the office of a bishop. But then he goes on to give very high qualifications for that office. It's good to desire the office. It's good to aspire to the office. It's good to have in your heart the desire to serve God in that way and to serve God's people in that way. But don't enter into that office. Don't even aspire for that office unless you are prepared to meet the qualifications. Don't try to do it on the sly. Don't try to do it without giving yourself to these high and holy standards which are given to us in the Word of God. Because, says James, we, including himself in it, we who are officers of the church, we who are in the teaching offices of the church, that's what he's talking about here specifically, are going to incur a stricter judgment. And he expands upon that thought in verse 2, and that's where we're going. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, May 24. And I know you are aware that we are very much dependent upon the gifts of God's people in order to remain on this station. Well, why? Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Well, he tells us why in verse 2 when he says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." All right, here's the whole idea. Those who are teachers incur a higher level of accountability in the day of judgment because they are exposed to a greater liability in sinning with the tongue. And in introducing that thought, he starts with a statement about the universal extent of sin and failure, a bigger category than simply sinning with the tongue. He introduces the larger category of sin and failure in many areas, and then he narrows it down to one particular area, namely the sins of speech. But he begins with this statement in verse 2, the first part of verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things." For we all stumble in many things. Who said that? James did. Who did he include in that statement? Himself, along with others. Who was James? The half-brother of Jesus Christ. Who was James? An elder. Who was James? The senior pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And what did James say? "For we all stumble in many things." It's a broad statement about the universal extent of sin and failure. We all stumble. We all are defeated. We all make mistakes. We all sin unintentionally, is really the idea here. We stumble inadvertently. We all stumble into sin in many things. And it's present tense. The idea is continuous action. We are all sinning many times and in many ways. And that's true for all believers, including teachers, including pastors, including James, a writer of Scripture, a godly man, a man who had a very godly reputation, a man who, history tells us, spent hours on his knees in prayer. And for a man like that, he tells us that he is guilty of sinning many times and in many ways, for we all stumble in many things. This tells me the teacher should not feign infallibility, and Christians should not expect infallibility of their teachers. Pastors, we'll just substitute that word pastor because I'm convinced that that's primarily what James has in mind. Pastors should not pretend that they are sinless or that they are near perfect, and Christians should not expect near perfection of their pastors. A higher standard? Yes, absolutely. God's Word requires it. But let's also be honest here to say that the best of God's people are still guilty of frequent sins. Now, there are many reasons why some people might find that difficult to accept. But I have learned by observation and experience over the years that the closer we get to God, the more we become aware of our sins. So here's the thing. The more we grow in grace, the more we mature and grow in grace and knowledge, the more we become more Christ-like, the less we sin, but the more we become aware of our sin, so that the sins that we wouldn't even have been aware of previously, now we are aware of, and they seem very large when before they seemed very insignificant, if not totally invisible. And so even though we are making progress in sanctification and becoming more holy, one of the results of becoming more holy and drawing closer to God is to have a greater sensitivity for sin. So sometimes our sense is that we are becoming more sinful, which might explain the statement by James. For we all stumble in many things. We are all sinning many times and in many ways. Why do you say that, James? Because as I grow in grace, because as I spend hours on my knees in prayer, because as I grow closer to God, I become more conscious of my sin. I realize I am sinning in so many different ways, so many times a day. And James, I don't think, is thinking primarily in terms of lying and stealing and committing adultery and getting drunk. I don't think he's thinking about those things at all. I think he's thinking about sinful thoughts and sinful words, hasty words, unkind words. He's thinking about things that many people don't even consider sin, but a godly person does. A godly person understands that licentious thoughts are sin. Unconverted people, they brush that off as nothing. Nothing sinful about that. Come on, don't be crazy. Don't be so ridiculous. And even immature Christians might adopt that position. But those who grow in grace and get close to God realize, because they study their Bible, they know what it says. They know that Jesus said that if a man looks upon a woman for the purpose of lusting after her, he has committed adultery already in his heart. A mature Christian knows that licentious thoughts are sin. And so it's sins of the heart, sins of the mind, sins of our thoughts, sins of our words, sins of omission, as much as sins of commission, that loom very large in the minds of those who are growing closer to Christ, and they have no difficulty saying, I am sinning many times and in many ways every day. And that's why I say that pastors should not put themselves upon a pedestal and act as if they are nearly perfect. Act as if they are a very, very godly person, and that everybody should treat them as holy, holy, holy. Not at all. Now, obviously, if pastors grovel in the grosser sins, they don't even qualify. Immorality. Covetousness that manifests itself in financial irresponsibility and stealing and love of money. These sort of things disqualify a man from the office of pastor. Dishonesty, lack of integrity, lying. These things, a bad temper, these things disqualify a man from the office of pastor. Oh boy, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a pastor. And again, I'm not saying that a pastor will be perfect in any of those areas. I'm just saying he can't be characterized by this. This can't be the normal characteristic of his life. This can't be what people think of first when they think about him. If so, then he doesn't qualify, but neither should he pretend that he is almost perfect, sinlessly perfect. Not by a long shot. And mature Christians will understand that of their pastors. They will not expect them to be near perfect. They won't expect them to be almost to the level of sinless perfection. Nobody is. Paul wasn't. James wasn't. None of the writers of Scripture were. Nobody was, except Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect one. And so when James says this, he's saying this as a respected, honorable, effective, godly pastor, for we are all sinning many times and in many ways. And that's just a broad general statement that's true of all people, all Christians, all people. Non-Christians even more so, of course, but all people who are honest with themselves and before God. We are sinners. That's why, as Christians, we are constantly repenting. And that's why we are commanded to do so. We must go regularly to the throne of grace and acknowledge our guilt and claim the promise that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. So much for the sinless perfection crowd. So much for the I'm holier than you are crowd. Not so. Stop acting that way. Be honest with the truth. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.